join Pat Kelly on The Saturday Show at 11 a.m. this Saturday to hear all about it. Kerry County Museum, where Kerry's story comes to life.
A wide range of topics, an even wider range of views. Talk about on Radio Kerry.
Medical Matters on Talk About, brought to you in association with the Bon Secours Hospital Tralee, celebrating 200 years of the Bon Secours mission.
Now, just in case anybody missed the show last week and you were wondering what's the story with Dr. Eamon. Eamon is going to be missing for a few weeks, but don't worry, he will be back. He'll be back with us around the middle of April, but we have lined up some great people to fill in on the medical slot in his absence, including Dr. David Buckley from the Kerry Skin Clinic, who's here with us today. And David, welcome back. Great to see you.
Thank you.
We've a lot of questions for you. A quick reminder to listeners, if you have a question about skin issues, we're going to stick specifically to that today. 083 300 3300 if you have a question for David. And David, I might just start by asking you a little bit about scabies, because it's been in the news a bit. I heard there was an outbreak of it in a jail in Cork and things like that. What is scabies?
Yeah, just in case, we do hair and nails as well, so it's not just skin. Skin, hair and nails.
Okay.
If anybody wants to phone in about hair and nail issues.
Perfect.
Scabies is it's always with us. It was there like in Egyptian times. Apparently they found scabies mites in the mummies. So we've always had scabies with us. It's a tiny, tiny insect, a mite, that gets in under the skin and you really can't see it with the naked eye, but you can see it with a microscope. And it causes an intense itch in some people, right? And it's infectious. It goes from person to person. You don't get it from dogs. You don't get it from couches. You don't even get it in school or in shops. It needs close personal contact, skin to skin contact, what we call a heat bridge, where skin meets skin. And you need persistent contact for perhaps, I don't know, 15 minutes, half an hour, for them to crawl out of one person's skin and the insect to crawl into another person's skin. So it's intimate contact, so it's household contact, so it's obviously boyfriend to girlfriend, it's mother to son, it's brother to sister, of course sleepover friends, cousins who come for Christmas. So we have a lot of intimate contacts, and it's as simple as just, you know, obviously sharing a bed is a ripe, but even sitting on the couch for 2 hours watching a movie, you know, skin to skin contact, it'll move from one kid's hand to another kid's hand or leg hand or leg or whatever, you know. And so once you get the insect, then you may or may not get a rash. Some people get the insect and have little or no itch and little or no rash, and yet they are infectious to other people. This is one of the problems. And then other people get an intense itch. I've had scabies twice in my life. I've got pretty nasty itch from it. It depends on your kind of allergic profile, because the itchy rash that you get on your body with scabies is not actually, you're not covered in scabies. You just have the mite often on your hands and feet, and that generates a kind of sparks off an allergic dermatitis, so that then you get this itch all over your body, even though you're not covered all over your body with the mites. This is that would be very unfortunate and not very pleasant thought. So the mites are often in the hands and feet, and then the allergic reaction in the body. And because it's contagious, then, you know, if it's in the house, you have to treat everybody, regardless of whether they're scratching or not. And this can become difficult because, for instance, if you have a kid in college, what do you do with their house in college in Cork or Dublin or Limerick? What do you do with their girlfriend or their boyfriend, and then that other girlfriend or boyfriend's houses? What do you do with cousins who come for Christmas and so forth? So the rule is, I suppose, anybody living in the house or who has close intimate contact, including boyfriends, girlfriends, should be treated with a scabies lotions. And you can buy these creams or lotions over the counter. They're a bit expensive. You have to put them pretty much all over, from pretty much your neck down, every square inch of your body. You leave it on overnight, wash it off in the morning, repeat it in 1 week, right? And if you do everybody in the house, regardless of whether they're scratching, generally you'll get it out of the house, right? You have to obviously maybe launder the clothes just at 50 degrees, wrap up shoes and things that you can't launder, like shoes, put them in a plastic bag for 3 days. The mite won't survive longer than 3 days outside the human body. And the problem is sometimes some people don't treat themselves. Oh, I have no itch, I don't need to be treated. But of course, because they have no itch, doesn't mean they're not infectious, you know. And then, you know, or then some external source reinfects them, and it all comes back into the house a month or two later. Or what's happening now is that there's resistance to the scabies cream. The most popular one is Perithrum. It's Lightclear, it's called, is the trade name. And that's the most popular scabies cream that you rub on all over the body. But unfortunately, there's quite a high rate of resistance now. So we've had to go back to some of the old-fashioned lotions like benzoyl benzoate, which can be a bit irritating when you put it on the body, but it's more effective. And occasionally, like you mentioned, outbreaks, if there was an outbreak in a nursing home or a prison or whatever, sometimes we would use scabies tablets as well. There is a tablet you take, you normally take, an adult would take about 6 tablets and 6 a week later. We normally combine the tablets with the scabies creams or lotions for more resistant, persistent or kind of outbreaks and so forth.
Okay. Very well, that's a very comprehensive explanation of it, and it's good to know that the cures are out there as well.
Yeah.
Will we crack on with a few questions?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll start with this one from Kathleen in West Kerry that came in much earlier today. So we'll reward Kathleen for getting her question in early. She says, I have a skin rash since October, but after applying emollient, antibiotic cream and a steroid, it hasn't completely gone away. It started at the back of one hand, one spot on my face and leg. It then spread to my other hand and arms. It's not itchy. I wish I knew what caused it. I have brown marks where I had red ones. I would really appreciate your advice.
The age is really helpful. She didn't mention
her age. She didn't say her age,
because obviously, you know, if she's 16 or 60 or 80,
yeah,
are big differences, right? We're assuming she's an adult and not elderly. Any dry, itchy rash, obviously moisturisers, if it's dry, you always moisturise. Any pretty rash will help with moisturisers, a good moisturiser from the pharmacy. Avoiding soaps is the other thing, because we're obsessed with soaps and bubbles and we don't need them. Generally speaking, you can wash with a soap-free wash, which again, you can buy in the supermarkets like Sanex Zero, for instance, or in the pharmacy. There's a company called Elav, it's an Irish company. They do a nice range of soap-free washes and so forth. So moisturising and avoiding soaps helps a lot of rashes. She mentioned the steroid cream. Obviously, it depends on the potency. Like some steroid creams are very strong, others are way, way too weak. So it would depend. Just because it didn't respond doesn't mean it won't respond to other types of steroid creams, because that would be the standard for most eczemas and dermatitis, you know. But of course, it could be psoriasis, in which case then she needs specific psoriasis creams rather than the eczema creams. And then, God forbid, it could be scabies, but I doubt it really did. You know, the clue there is that it was a brand new itch that comes on, an intense itch in a lot of people, and there's another person in the house scratching. You know, if there's two people in the house scratching, you think scabies number one. Of course, it's not always scabies, even in that situation. But that's always in the back of our minds. I mean, obviously, the best thing to do, this lady, is go back to her GP, discuss it again, bring the creams that she's used, but actually bring the tubes so the doctor can see what she's already used. And if it's going on and not responding, then she may have to be referred on to a skin specialist. But mostly these rashes can be sorted out by the GP.
Now, this next one is from a listener who says, I have a tiny blocked pore just below my eyelid. My doctor and optician have both said that this is what it is and advised a warm compress to open it, but this hasn't worked. My beautician feels it's too close to my eye for her to use needles on it. What other options do I have? I feel it's unsightly. Is this maybe something Dr. Buckley could look at?
Yeah, it sounds, again, we didn't see her age, did we? We didn't get
no.
her age.
Yeah,
it's really helpful with the age. But the we're assuming she's an adult female. This sounds like a kind of a large whitehead or a small cyst. It's kind of these, often around the eyes, you see them. Some people have a number of them. And they're actually very easy to pop out with a needle. But, you know, the beautician shouldn't really be too nervous. I mean, once it's not actually on the eyelid and you point the needle away from the eye and the patient is, no, I'm sorry, the lady, the client sits nice and still and doesn't jump around. You know, we do them around the eyes all the time, right? And in fact, you can remove them with a green needle. This is a hypodermic needle without any anaesthetic. It's just a pinprick. Women will put up with this. You wouldn't dare do that in a man without a local anaesthetic, but women will tolerate all
high pain thresholds.
Absolutely, yeah, 100%. But so you just sterilise the skin and just pop it out with a green needle. I wouldn't, you know, probably not something she would do herself. And then her GP mightn't be overly comfortable about it. But beauticians are generally good at this. And, you know, take a photograph, send it to a few beauticians, say, can you do this? I mean, all else fails, she could go to a skin specialist, but it sounds like a small, small job, punch jobber, that they could manage it themselves. Compresses and stuff won't work.
They won't.
You've got to pop them out. And they pop out and they come out like a tiniest little, like a sesame seed, even smaller, like a half a sesame seed.
Tiny cyst.
But when you get the needle and you break the skin, it pops out intact and you throw it in the bin, that's the end of it, right? So it's actually very, very easy to do.
Best of luck to that lady with that. Hopefully she'll get a solution. This next one is from a man in his mid-50s. He says he has some sun damage to his scalp in the past. His scalp is dry and feels rough and scaly, possibly actinic keratosis.
Exactly, yeah.
Would a pharmacy or a GP be able to prescribe something, or would I need to see a specialist such as Dr. Buckley?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Now, this man has given an excellent history and he's even given us his age, right? He didn't tell us whether he has hair or not, but we're assuming he doesn't, because if he had a full head of hair, he wouldn't have this problem, right? He didn't tell us his occupation either, but I assume that he's kind of some kind of outdoor worker.
Could be, yeah.
Farmer, fisherman, golfer, sailor, gardener, whatever, you know, outdoors a lot, because it's the combination of having Irish skin, which is kind of fair and sensitive, and then having exposed scalp, which without hair, and then working outdoors, of course, living overseas for a number of years. But most of these people that I see, men in their 50s, they have a bald scalp and it's like sandpaper. You rub your hand over and back the scalp, it's like sandpaper. It means the whole scalp has been irradiated, excessive ultraviolet radiation, and it's accumulated pretty much all his adult life since he went thin on top, and it's precancerous, right? So it needs to be treated, right? And of course, it's better to get in early, right? Now, the first thing he needs, and I always mouth on about it, is a hat. A hat that comes out over the years, a broad-rimmed hat. Winter, summer, cloudy, sunny, it makes no difference. He just wears a hat. He never, ever goes out. And you can verify, what am I wearing here?
You're a very nice hat, David. Very nice. Very fetching.
Broad-rimmed hat, right? I practice what I preach, because I worked in Africa for a number of years. I was younger, a bit naive and not so informative, and I got a lot of sun damage on my forehead. Luckily, I had enough hair at the time to protect my head. So I had it all treated, like this man's scalp will need to be treated, but I never go out without my hat, winter or summer. And he needs to do that. Of course, the sunblock as well, but men are not great for sunblocks, but they will wear a hat. It's the opposite with women. They won't wear hats, but they will wear sunblocks. But I believe that you need both, right?
You need both.
Because hats and sunblocks, they're anti-skin cancer, they're anti-aging, they're anti-sun damage, is what this man has on his scalp, right? Now, he asked, could he get something over the counter? Well, obviously, you could buy sunblock, but a hat is probably easier if he just wears it all the time during daylight hours when he's outdoors, right? Or if he's sitting in a conservatory. People are in polytunnels and so forth now, you know, guarding, and of course they think, oh, I don't need a hat, it's nice and warm, don't need, but they're getting lots of exposure even in the winter, because if you're in a polytunnel for 2 or 3 hours, that's a lot of ultraviolet light that can even penetrate through cloud. So I don't want to mow down too much about it, but I can't stress enough the hat is so important, and that's what's going to stop the damage from now on. At least he won't get any worse, right? There isn't any good over-the-counter treatments that this man can get from the pharmacy, so no, but he can get it from his GP. He doesn't need to go to a skin specialist, right? He can, for instance, the GP can prescribe a thing called Solaraze, which is a very gentle kind of cream. You put it on the scalp twice a day for 3 months. It's not great, but it's kind of easy to use. There's a more nuclear option, a cream called Effudex, or it's also called 5-fluorouracil. It's a chemotherapeutic agent. You put that on the scalp, but it's like pain strippers. And that's what I use on my forehead. But it does a fantastic job. You're going to get a red, sore scalp for a month, but he's wearing his hat, so that'll hide it anyway. But it strips off all the sun damage and prevents it from developing on into skin cancer. And you do it for a month, and then you rest it, the cream, for a month, and then you do a second month, and you rest it for a month, and you do a third cream and rest it for a month. And just finally, there is one last option, and it's this new cream, this cream called Effudex, combined with another cream called Calcipotrol, and you mix this. It's not commercially available, but the pharmacist can mix the two together, and you only need to use it for 4 days. I wish I had it back when I did my forehead. You do it for 4 days, once a month for 3 months. So that's a brand new one that's out. So there is lots of options, but the GP is always the first port of call, right? Might be able to help him. If not, then he can be referred on. Also, if there's like individual scaly areas, they can be frozen off with liquid nitrogen, cryosurgery. But really, these men need their whole scalp treated.
Okay. I'm going to cut you there for a second, David, because we need to go to an ad break. We've loads more questions for you. We'll try and get through as many of them as we can before 2:30. Again, get in touch with us on the usual numbers. Dr. David Buckley staying with us for a few more minutes. 2:18. We'll take a break.
Medical Matters on Talk About, brought to you in association with the Bon Secours Hospital Tralee, celebrating 200 years of the Bon Secours mission.
Now, Dr. David Buckley from the Kerry Skin Clinic is with us. He's answering questions about your skin, so do get them into us. We'll get through as many as we can. David, this next one is from a lady in her early 80s. She has a pimply thing on the side of her nose and on other parts of her face. It's sunspots, according to her doctor. He has put her on Solaris 3 times a day. It has got rid of the spots, but the problem is they keep coming back. And she's wondering, could David recommend something other than burning them off?
Yeah, well, this lady is obviously, again, given an excellent history, her age and so forth, 80 years old. I mean, she's lived a full life, and I presume she's probably outdoors gardening and so forth when she was younger. And now she's had sun damage, which is exceedingly common in this age group, especially on the exposed areas like the face, the back of the hands and the lower legs in women. Men obviously wear trousers, they get less problems in their lower legs, but the women get a lot of problems in their lower legs. And this is just a life, this is almost inevitable if you live long enough, you're going to get sun damage. And this actinic keratosis she described, actinic means sun, keratosis means rough, so rough skin from the sun. And these are just little spots, they may be 5 or 10 millimetres, size of a button in your shirt, that can be persistent and scaly and a bit rough and sandpapery. You know, obviously, like the man with the bald head, she needs to cover up, and the face is the obvious way. There is a sunblock, a good sunblock, pretty much spring, summer and autumn, even on the cloudy days, to cover up, especially when she's outdoors. A hat, of course, you know, it's harder to get women to wear hats, but if she'll wear a hat, that's even good too. And you have to remember that if you're good with hats and sunblocks, you need to take vitamin D, especially in the winter, because pretty much most of Irish people need extra vitamin D in the winter, especially so if you're going to be photoprotecting like I'm describing. But that's easy. You can buy them over the counter in the health food shops, the supermarkets or the pharmacy. Vitamin D is very cheap, and the dose is usually 600 international units a day. A lot of people take far too much. So the GP could freeze these off with the cold liquid. I think she mentioned that, the liquid nitrogen, the cryosurgery. That's a very good treatment, because a 10-second freeze, it'll swell up for about a week or 10 days and then it pretty much disappears. Sometimes it can be a bit painful and uncomfortable. Maybe the GP isn't aggressive enough or not doing the full 10-second freeze. But that works really well for most actinic keratosis, and it'll actually prevent them from going on into developing into skin cancer, because technically they are precancerous. It also makes them look a lot better. Can leave a slight whiteness of the skin, but that can be hidden by makeup, especially in a woman. If that doesn't work, and for instance, it's been froze a few times and it keeps coming back in the same spot, well, that's a sign that maybe it's more than actinic keratosis. Maybe there's an early skin cancer there. It is possible, because that's the natural evolution, that some of them will eventually go on into skin cancer. Not all of them. In fact, very few of them, but, you know, maybe between 1% and 2% of them can go on and develop into skin cancer. So if it hasn't responded after 1 or 2 sessions of cryosurgery, she needs a biopsy. That means taking that surgically, removing a tiny bit of the lesion on the face, maybe 3 millimetres, which is tiny. Put a tiny stitch in and send that to the lab. And then the lab will tell us how much sun damage, how deep it is, and whether it's actually gone into an early skin cancer. And the kind of skin cancers generally are not life threatening. They're not melanomas. They're what we call non-melanoma skin cancers. So they're slow growing. So she doesn't have to panic or rush off now, right? They're very slow growing and they rarely spread beyond the skin. And again, even skin cancers like that, if it turned out to be, God forbid, it can be frozen as well. But obviously a much harder freeze, maybe 30-second freeze, 2 freeze thaw cycles under local anaesthetic, and there'd be a lot more swelling and blistering, but usually it heals up in a month, all right? And again, sometimes they're cut out, and there's even creams we can use for skin cancers. Like we mentioned with the man on the head, things like Effudex can be used to treat skin cancers. But if it's persistent, particularly if it's tender, if there's a speck of blood, if it's not going away after a few sessions of cryo, it probably needs a biopsy.
We'll take, I think we've time for one more anyway. This is a man in his 50s. In the winter months, his feet and back get very dry and itchy. This only seems to be in the winter. What could be causing it?
Yeah, well, age alone, her skin will dry out, but he's not that old. He's relatively young, I suppose, 50s. He didn't say early 50s or late 50s. But as we age, our skin gets drier. We need more moisturisers, less soap. We mentioned about using soap substitutes and good moisturisers, which again, you can just buy over the counter in the pharmacy. They'll advise you, perfume-free, fragrance-free, all that stuff, right? And that alone will be enough, right? That means often worse in the winter because we're stuck indoors and then central heating and double glazing and there's no ventilation, there's no fresh air. Because we talked about all the bad things about the sun, but the sun is actually kind of good for eczema. And a little bit of sun is good for you, a little bit, you know, in the summer, but not too much, and not if you've already had sun damage. But for the average person, yeah, you know, letting a little bit of air at the skin can help a little bit.
Lister says, what does David think of LED face masks or treatments in beauticians?
Oh, have we half an hour?
No.
It depends. It depends on the type of light source. Some of them are laser lights and some of them are just like the lights you have in the ceiling with a bit of a red filter over them or a blue filter and so forth. I'm a bit not overly impressed myself with the results. It's marginal, if anything. So really, you need proper lasers to get good results with skincare, whether it's kind of redness or brown marks or wrinkles and so forth. And everybody wants to just have this magic light that you shine on the skin with no downtime, no side effects and fantastic results. Well, it's not going to happen. And these masks, you can buy them at home. They're not cheap, 500-600 euros, but again, the results are very marginal and there's an awful lot of hype out there and a lot of false advertising and false claims. So I wouldn't be rushing out getting one myself, and my wife doesn't have one. So does that answer the question?
Yeah, it really does, actually. We better let you go, David, because you're a busy man. And thank you so much for answering those questions for us. You're going to be back with us in a few more weeks, again, stepping in for Eamon. We're so grateful to you for doing that. And if anyone wants to contact you, you're at the Kerry Skin Clinic here, Ash Street, Tralee.